The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that Jesus is? I mean, people out there in the street, in the neighborhood, those outside the Christian community, who do they say Jesus is? There's some studies that suggest the predominant view outside looking in is that we Christians are judgmental and unloving, generally speaking. And if that's so, then that certainly casts aspersions on the one that we say we follow. Or do people on the outside see Jesus differently than they see the church? Do they see Jesus one way and Christians much differently? Do they perceive Jesus to be kind, generous, and compassionate, but the church not so much so? Do they wonder sometimes if those who claim to be Christians are following the Jesus that they've heard about? Do people out there recognize that Christians vary a good bit across the spectrum that is the church? Or do they simply lump us all together? I wonder. Who do people say that I am? Well, the disciples responded, "John the Baptist, Elijah, a prophet, a preacher like John, a miracle worker like Elijah, a person speaking the word of God like the great prophets of Israel's past." "Who do you say that I am?" he asked then. And apparently, Messiah is the answer, the correct answer. Even if Peter didn't understand what Messiah or Christ, Anointed One, really meant. Peter's perception of Messiah seemed to include some kind of military political move against their Roman oppressors, while Jesus' perception of Messiah includes suffering, serving, and even death for the sake of the world. Who do you say that Jesus is? Might depend on the day or the week. Might depend on your context at the moment or the circumstances. Helper, source of strength. Right now, that would be Kara Clark's answer in the wake of Drew's death. She asked that a passage from Philippians be read at the funeral that includes a verse that means a lot to her. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus, helper, source of strength. Or teacher. Sometimes one might be especially focused on what Jesus teaches us about living, about relationships, about kindness and compassion and generosity, about forgiveness. Teacher. Or healer. One might be at a point in one's life where you find yourself praising Jesus, the healer of body, mind, and spirit. Perhaps a life made new through the power of forgiveness. Yeah, Jesus, healer. And then there's Lord. That's a title we use in reference to Jesus. Kind of rolls off the tongue without thought as we recite the creed. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. And then we keep right on going. Our Lord, we say. Really? How so? Do others conclude that Jesus is Lord after they get to know us? Is it obvious that Jesus is our Lord? One scholar points out that when Jesus calls on those who would follow him to deny self, it has to do with leaving behind one's primary group affiliation. In Jesus' day, that would have been one's family, one's clan. So to deny self would mean no longer would the clan, family, be the primary influence on one's life, on what you choose to do, on how you live, what you value, where your commitments lie. Everything was about family and clan in that culture. Much, perhaps even all of your life, was dictated by family and clan expectations and decisions. You simply didn't go against the family, the clan. We see some of that culture even today in the honor killings of young girls by their fathers or brothers when these young ladies get to the United States and choose a path that's not okay with the family. So when Jesus said you must deny yourself, it meant to put all that family clan stuff aside in order to seek the approval of Jesus rather than family. To follow Jesus rather than the original group or society at large. To truly make Jesus Lord of your life. Lord over your values and all that you are. Who do you say that I am? Lord? Who is Jesus to us? Jesus continually asks that question of us throughout the scriptures. Who am I to you? It would be nice if we could say, okay, I get this Mark 8:34 through 37. I get who Jesus is and what he expects of me. Deny self, take up your cross, follow me. I'll put a check in that box. Done. Now what? But no, he continually asks the question, who am I to you? And it's not a question that's answered merely with a few words or a word. The answer is there in our actions, our values, our way of living. At the funeral on Thursday, I told about a conversation I had with Drew Clark 10 months ago. Our appointment was back in November, and it was specifically to be about the Into campaign, about the campaign that was to pay, has been paying for all these renovations that have been going on, as well as for the mission fund that's going to make possible a lot of good things in the community and beyond. We talked about all that, and he had a lot of good questions. But then he took the conversation in a little different direction when he asked me some very specific questions, including, how do you and your wife decide how much to give away. He asked me if I could give him an idea of how much do people give to support the work of the congregation. He wanted suggestions about other ways that he could offer his abilities and his time in ministry here at CTK, in addition to what he was already doing as a Sunday school teacher with his wife and helping out with youth activities. In reflecting on that, I realized he was exploring options for his response to God's grace and generosity. He indicated that he considered himself very blessed by family, by career opportunities. And he was investigating how best to respond, how best to say thanks. I perceived it as gathering information for the conversation he was having with Jesus about who is Jesus to me, and how he was going to demonstrate through his actions and values just who Jesus is to him. We answer the question, who do you say that I am? With our words and actions and values. Elton Trueblood was an old Quaker writer, author. Maybe you've read something by him. He was getting up in years when I moved to Richmond, Indiana, and I got a little bit acquainted with him. And I know that any number of occasions I heard him talk about your date book and your check book. That was back when people still wrote checks, of course. Our date book, he said, indicates how we spend our time. Our checkbook, how we spend our money. What we do with the money that God's given us to manage. And between the two, he used to say, we indicate who or what is really important in our lives. We don't answer the question, who do you say that I am, once and for all, with some simple verbal response, your Lord, your Savior, you're the Christ. No, we spend our whole lives answering that question. We answer with our day-to-day living, with our choices, with our priorities, with our values, with our actions, with taking up crosses for the sake of others. Taking up crosses by our participation in things like God's work, our hands. Small crosses, perhaps, but ways of highlighting today, on this particular day, the kinds of things that we want to be doing all through the year as we go into the neighborhood and community, as we who are the body of Christ in the flesh hopefully enable people to see Jesus and experience the kindness and caring and compassion of Jesus through our words and deeds. Hopefully, helping change that widely held view that Christians are just judgmental and unloving. Taking up crosses, even if small ones. Now, taking up a cross might well have been what some of the earlier followers of Jesus did literally, being crucified for their faith. For us, not so likely anything like that could ever happen, although it does happen in other parts of the world. I like the way the great teacher of preachers, Fred Craddock, put it. He said, we think of giving our all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill and laying it on the table and saying, here's my life, Lord. I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that Jesus doesn't take that bill all at once. Rather, he sends us to the bank and has us cash that $1,000 bill for quarters. And we go through life giving 25 cents here and 50 cents there. Usually, giving our life to Christ isn't one glorious sacrifice of our life. It's done in all those little acts, 25 and 50 cents at a time. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do I say that Jesus is? Well, we're working out that answer day after day. every day of our lives. Amen.